Have you heard Snava has a kick-ass app? It's for studying on the go. It's to test your fluency. It's something that's going to help you when you don't have time to sit down and open your Cooper book and just want to take some mock exams and check off questions. The best part, I think my favorite part of the app, is that every Tuesday night and Saturday morning, it comes with a live study group with a BCBA. And yours truly, Casey, is there every Saturday morning at 11 Central Standard Time. And it comes with your subscription, so you get to ask me all the questions in real life. So you should go over and get the app now. Sign up, whether you use Apple or Android or Google, whatever, all we're everywhere now. So thank gosh. But yes, join me. We cannot wait to see you. Love you, mean it. Study notes, ABA.
ABA and a little X right it away. It's behavior, bitches.
Hey guys, it's Liat.
And Casey.
All right, so before we get started, as always, you know we like to pump ourselves up. So Casey, what do you have to say today that someone has said that's nice about us? Nice reviews only. And go.
All right. Okay, so Haley Lee Joe 1 says, love you. You guys honestly have helped me obtain and grasp the ABA concepts and terms. I'm studying for my RBT exam and I laugh and remember all the ways ABA is applied. Love you guys, mean it. Ah, I hope you passed your exam. You left this review on March 6th. So if you haven't taken it yet, we're wishing you all the love and luck. And we need more RBTs out there. So keep spreading the word about how amazing ABA is.
You've got this. I'm sure you killed it.
Today's behavioral principles are environmental manipulations, intervention, function of behavior, behavior chain interruption strategy, ABC, antecedent manipulations, MOs, rule-governed behavior, and interventions.
Okay, so now we are ready as we got here today. Natural pickup. Everyone's already making fun of my outfit, which Casey legit zero space to speak.
I literally wear just sweatshirts and leggings every day.
However, I agree that this tank top's not cool that I'm wearing. But anyways, and our guest started off great with me today. She was supporting it and saying it's coming back in style. So I'm really happy to have her here on my side. And why don't we just jump right into it and introduce our guest today?
I'm excited. And, so I get a lot of emails and keep them coming, guys, if you want to come on the show. But this one was really cool because she not only gave me like the topics exactly that she wanted to discuss and just like really detailed email. So it was easy for me to be like, oh, this person has their shit together and it will be a great podcast. So without further ado, I'm going to give a little background on this cutie. She's super cool. Her name's Yvette Aguilar. She is a board certified behavior analyst and she's passionate and she's dedicated and she's a bilingual behavior analyst, which is so amazing. And we need that always. Her mission is to not only analyze behavior, but to continue advocating for the rights of individuals, ensuring that they receive the support they need to thrive by blending expertise with compassion. She aims to create a meaningful difference in the lives of those she serves and those who surround them. So she does a lot of work in somatic embodiment and using ABA and women empowerment. Yes, we love all of that. So Yvette, welcome to the show. Yay, yay, yay. So happy to have you.
That was a wonderful introduction. Thank you so much. I was like, oh,
Did we leave anything out? Because sometimes Casey picked random lines from it. Did we leave anything out?
Yeah, no, tell us more about who you are.
Yeah. Okay. That was wonderful. But yeah, my name is Yvette and I empower BCBAs who are starting to forget who they are outside of their career. And I help them overcome stress so that they can reclaim that energy to renew their sense of self and they can have clarity as to like what it is that they want to do. And I do this through somatic movement, helping, behavior analysts become more in tune with their bodies. And that's where the somatic embodiment comes in, because I believe that burnout is not just about the workload. That's definitely a big piece of it. But I believe as women, we're always wearing a mask, and we're masking how we really feel about something, what our true values are. And I feel like that shows up in the workplace, and that really contributes to our burnout.
Yeah.
And also, I think we're wearing a lot of hats.
Yeah, as I was about to say, also like doing the role of like, I mean, like when you leave work, you're just starting your next job at home. A lot of women anyways, right? Like you're going home to
run the house. Yeah, no, exactly. And I always get really curious too, like what brings, you know, people into this role, because I believe it's like 82% of behavior analysts are women. So we're drawn to the field for a reason. I think it's because we want to help. But I feel like that can also kind of perpetuate that that burnout of always having to help, right? Because like you said, Leah, like even like when we come home, like we're usually the ones like taking care of the household or taking care of other people. And there's no turning it off.
Nope. Yeah. It's really hard. So tell us how you got to become a BCBA and your little journey there.
Yeah. Okay. I started in the field in 2018 by accident. I was pre-med. I had just applied to physician assistant school and I was waiting and my friend was like, hey, I'm working with children. I feel like you'd be really good at it. And I was like, okay, you know, why not? I, you know, got in the field as a behavior technician, and like a month in, I was like, that's it. Like, I'm gonna change my master's to applied behavior analysis. And I did that. And then I became a BCBA, like not even 2 years later. So I really jumped into the BCBA role pretty quickly. And I didn't realize how much work it was going to be. I didn't realize how
Oh my God. I was like, it will be easy.
That's what I thought. I was like, I just can't wait to be a BCBA and like make my own treatment plans and, you know, have a stay. But, and it wasn't just the workload. What I was noticing is like, I was getting so much anxiety giving feedback and having parent meetings. And I was like, why am I so anxious? And I did not have a lot of self-confidence. So I believe that's what really led me to my burnout. So like, you know, 4 years later, I found myself in a place where I'm like, I don't even know who I am outside of a BCBA. Like, this is just what I do. So me and my partner, who's also a BCBA, decided to quit our jobs and just go traveling. That was like one of my lifelong dreams. So we traveled Southeast Asia for 2 months. I got so much clarity just stepping away, and I just dove deeper into my healing practice. And I realized how, wow, like, I loved being a behavior analyst, but I was just feeling so much self-doubt, and that was contributing to my burnout. And I was wearing a mask. I wasn't even talking about how I really felt about things. I was way too scared to actually, you know, like question like admin or anything like that. So healing that, then I got to a place where I'm like, okay, I have to empower other behavior analysts to do the same, because I know I'm not the only one feeling that way.
Wow.
It's a scary step to take, though, to quit your job and like actually go into that healing process and acknowledge that. Because when you've gone through your master's, you've passed the test, it's the biggest thing. And then it's like, oh my God, I don't want to do this. And that is a scary realization.
Yeah, I think it's really also scary. Because for me, realizing my master's is like my master's, I felt like I was so tied down to like this job. And it is super scary. It's like, am I just throwing my master's away? Am I throwing away all this hard work? But really stepping away and having that time for myself gave me so much clarity of how I can come back and make it my own.
You want some Snava swag? Well, let me tell you that our merch is poppin'. We have some of the coolest shit ever that you can rep when you're at work, in the clinic, in the school. From water bottles to tote bags to notebooks to to-do lists. Anything you need, we got. We even have some clothes. So if you want to get your merch and rep Snava wherever you go, head over to www.studynotesaba.com and get your merch today.
I just want to say, I am so envious of you. To like stop and just travel. Like, And there's like such a limited time in your life that you could do that. Like my parents
always. Glennon Doyle say?
I don't remember that.
You talk about.
Oh, as if
no, you like. You say it. Yeah, you talk about like I'll do that.
Maybe in my next life, as if I had more than one.
Yeah.
But like my parents always talk about when they got married, like early on, they sold their house. And they just traveled like Europe, like all over with like not much money and just like figured it out. And I'm like, that is so cool. But like, I've missed that window to do it. I mean, unless maybe when Kobe's older or something, like once I have those responsibilities. But if I could do that, I would love to just like just get the fuck out.
Well, it's funny because I did it when I was 24.
You could do that.
I was just... So when I was 24, I was bartending, and this is before I was in the ABA field. So I would take the winters off, and I traveled for about 4 years in a row. Every winter for a month or two, I'd go to Costa Rica or Nicaragua, and sometimes by myself, sometimes with a friend. But I think back on that now, and it was the happiest time of my actual life, like just being alone and making decisions on my own and what do I want to do when I wake up in the morning? And I wasn't tied to my role or my job. I was Casey. And that's changed so much with responsibilities as they come, as you get older. But I was just thinking, Leah, it's so funny. I'm like, I could kind of do that. I could work from anywhere for study notes and travel. I don't have kids. Like a healing journey. It's like really what I need, to be honest with you. And I need Yvette to help me.
No, I
am so mad at healing.
I was just thinking about you, Casey, and I was like, dude, she could do this. Like, I can't even like get away for a weekend, you know, as like a single mom.
But I wouldn't trade Kobe. Yeah. He's the best thing in the world.
No. He's like a vacation that makes you really tired, but he's like a walking Xanax. But at the same time, like I'm so envious of that. That is so cool.
Yeah, I believe so many of us can do it. I think we just live in a society where it's not normalized. When I was abroad, like there was like just families, you could tell they were Americans with like newborn babies, like just walking around and like traveling and like backpacking. And I was like, wow, like this is like, you can have this kind of life. It's just, we don't see it. And we don't, especially as women, I don't think we get the permission that we can.
Oh, I have thought about it. I could either pay school tuition or like, I mean, I don't give a shit. I'm not worried that my kids, like at that age, at like 2 or 3, it's like, they're going to learn more from like the natural environment. And I was like, as a single mom, I already have to have a nanny. Why don't I just take a nanny and I travel? But the problem is like constraints with custody that you can't just like pick your kid up and leave. But I would in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. And like any money I paid towards school, I would put towards just like travel.
I feel like you and I should just take Kobe and go. You and I should take Kobe, go away for a month and travel.
I would love that.
Okay, let's talk. That's like, I'm excited. Anyways, all right.
Okay, sorry. So, PB&J.
So you, I know you, it's good to know. So you traveled and you came back, and what did you like? What are the main things that you learned that you now like? What is your role now that you've grown using ABA and what you do?
Yeah. So when I was still abroad, I had discovered embodiment, and I wanted to learn more. So I was taking an online course. And so I was doing a lot of inner healing work, and my vacation was
operationally. Can you operationally define embodiment?
Yeah. Embodiment for me is like living in alignment with your true values, which sounds pretty simple, but it's definitely not easy, especially like with society and like all the expectations that we have as women. So it's like just behaving in a way where you're in alignment with your values. So you're embodying that because you're using your body to kind of carry out what it is that you really care about on the inside.
And I want to talk about this after, but I don't want to forget it. So I'm going to say it real quick. It's like, I've been recognizing like certain like parts of my body that are like the base of my skull yesterday and even today is like super painful. And it's not a headache. I don't get headaches, but I'm like, what am I holding right here that is like not moving through or like causing that like discomfort? And I was thinking of you today. I'm like, I want to ask her. So we'll talk about that after you say what you did.
Yeah.
Or what you do.
Yes, definitely. So I was taking this online course to just like get to know myself better, because I had no idea who I was anymore. I was so disconnected from my own values. And through this embodiment course, I really learned about nervous system regulation and how we hold on to old emotions in our body, and that affects the way that we behave. So I started getting curious about like, okay, I've always felt this anxiety in my body. I never actually thought about what is it that I'm carrying from my childhood. And this embodiment certification really, taught me how to recognize those sensations in my body and correlate almost like, okay, I'm feeling this here. So this usually means that I'm anxious, and kind of like get more information as to why I'm feeling anxious in the moment, and learning about certain movements that are going to help me move that anxiety out through my body. Because one thing that I was doing is I was trying to meditate, I was trying to sit and, you know, do all of the breathing, and that just wouldn't work for me. And I always thought that there was something wrong with me. And once I discovered more of the somatic movement, it's like, wow, like I really need to get up and just shake and actually move. Like my body, that's how I'm able to transmute that anxiety from my body. And then I can get to a regulated place, and then I can make decisions in my life from a place that's more clear versus like emotional overwhelm, which I noticed I was doing a lot of as a BCBA.
Yeah, the movement I think is so important. I ordered, I told you this during our pre-interview, but I know that when I'm working out, I am my best self, and it's not always like time fitting. So I ordered the TikTok viral stair stepper that like everyone's using. And because I'm a pacer, I don't like to sit, and I work better if I'm standing and like moving. And so I have it, and I have it at my kitchen island. And whenever I'm like doing like emails or anything, I'll just like stair step. So I'm getting my workout, and I find I'm like way more focused when I'm moving my body.
Yeah. That goes back to what we do as behavior analysts, is like individual, like creating individualized, like environmental modifications based on our learner. Right. And we have to do the same thing for ourselves as well. I'm the same way. After a workout, all of a sudden I have all of these creative ideas, and there's something that happens, and I'm like, okay, I need to go move. When I'm starting to feel stressed out or I'm overthinking a project, I'm like, okay, let me just pause. Let me go on a walk. And that usually will get my creative juices flowing again. So that's really just given me the permission to, I don't have to sit at a desk all of the time. Like it's okay to get up and move around. And that's really helped me even just reinforce like, you know, what I do with my clients, and like even just question like the whole school system too. Like we're expected to sit at a desk for so long and focus, but it's really hard to just sit. Sometimes we need to move.
Are there specific movements depending on specific things you're working with, like an ABA, right? You're like, okay, if the function is escape, I need to make sure that the intervention I'm using is having to do with that function, like matching the function, right? Now, is it the same for when you're noticing these like somatic sensations in different parts of your body, or the function of them, like this is due to this or this is due to that?
Yeah, definitely. Usually when it's like anxiety, right, or there's stress, usually there's underlying there's fear. And I believe like even just thinking about our nervous system is probably in some kind of flight or flight mode. So it's like, what can we do to our bodies if it is thinking that it's in danger? And usually it's moving, like moving, running. What I think about it from an evolutionary, like psychology standpoint of like, you know, back in the day, when we felt anxious was usually because there was actual danger. Like there was a lion chasing after us. So then we had to move. Nowadays, we get stressed about just a report that is due or a parent that, you know, isn't the easiest to work with. And so I believe knowing that and moving in that way, like maybe shaking or running, for me, running really helps me just kind of trick my body into thinking, hey, we avoided that threat. It's okay. We can go back to normal. And the same thing also for sadness, too. That's another emotion that lives in our body. And with that, I actually really like to exaggerate the feeling in my body. Usually when we're sad, we look down, we hunch over. And one of the things that I guide my clients to do is like, hey, how about we actually just sit with it, maybe amplify it a little bit. And then once we've done that, we can almost just kind of release. So sometimes we have to lean into it so that we can release it.
I love that. As opposed to like trying to run from it and escape the feeling.
Yeah, that's what we do so often. We're trying to distract ourselves from these feelings because they're uncomfortable. And like no one teaches us how to cope with them. No one teaches us how to deal with like jealousy or embarrassment, these like really like shameful feelings. So we do things to avoid them instead of just leaning in and like, okay, this situation is making me feel this way. It's making me feel this in my body. What are the tools that I can use to, you know, shake that feeling from my body, and then get back to a place where I'm responding in a way that is more in alignment with my values instead of just reacting.
So you're like essentially retraining your body from like the, like, sorry, you know, I always got to bring the behavioral terms in here, like whatever typical behavior chain you have in these scenarios, you know, you're like, okay, I'm anxious. Here's a typical like chain or like how I respond or behaviors I engage in. So you're almost like having to retrain. Like it doesn't feel comfortable. Like, let me lean into the sadness more. Let me like put myself even more uncomfortable, like in the position. But by doing that, you're almost, as opposed to spending the energy trying to fight it, you're using the energy to almost feel it. Is that right?
Yeah, definitely. Going back to the ABCs, like I'll just give an example. Like, let's just say we're on social media on Instagram and we see our ex is with a new person, and that's like the antecedent, right? And then the behavior would typically be, I don't know, maybe something like, I'm going to go eat a whole jug of ice cream. And the consequence is like, okay, like that made that feeling go away, but now my stomach feels shitty. So what I like to think about the ABCs is like, I kind of go and intervene right in between the A and the B. So there's the antecedent, and then then there's like this physical sensation that you get. There's something going on in your body. There's something telling you, oh, I don't like this. Or, and that is where I go in and, like you said, like kind of retrain, lean into that so that we don't go through the typical behavior chain that is usually self-sabotage. It's like, okay, I'm feeling this in my body. I know what this means. Let me use some coping skills so that I can be more mindful about the behavior that I'm going to choose.
It sounds a lot like acceptance commitment therapy, like the diffusing of the thoughts, like letting it, stopping it right there and diffusing it. And then thinking about that behavior, if I ate a jug of ice cream, I would feel like shit and I'm escaping something instead of leaning into a different behavior.
Yeah,
but
definitely.
That's really hard to do.
I love it. It's hard to actually do. I love that ACT, I think, is becoming more normalized in our field. Like, I feel like so many people know what ACT is. So many people are applying it in their practice. And I believe what just bringing in that somatic, it just brings in the body, right? Because I believe in order to have like just like a holistic approach is we have to address the mind and the body. I believe ACT is so great at mind, and the body is just through somatic movement. It's like, okay, when you do feel that in your body, what can you actually do to shake it out so that you don't get this accumulation of emotions? And I call it emotional constipation. Like, have you ever felt like you're randomly just like snapping at people, or you're just like irritated? You have no idea what you're even irritated at, but it's just an accumulation of just a bunch of things that you haven't actually felt or allowed yourself to feel.
Abso-friggin-lutely. Yes.
I saw Casey try snapping me yesterday.
Snap at you? Ow.
You weren't like trying to. Oh, you about to be like getting ready for the class. You're like, you know, you're bossy or something. I was like, I didn't even say a bossy comment.
Oh my God, my skull is killing.
She must have been constipated. Which I'm only too happy.
I know, because I usually am the other way. So,
but going back to what you were saying, Casey, about like certain like physical like symptoms that we're feeling, like there's like a body map. So if you are feeling like a lot of tension in certain parts of your body, that may be a sign that you're holding on to certain emotions in that area. And I know that can sound not very behavior analytic, but for me, in order to just prevent that, like as a proactive strategy, is I do a lot of movement, or I make sure that every day I'm taking the time to just sit and ask myself, okay, anywhere in my body, am I feeling tension? And if I do, then I engage in a behavior that's going to help me to release that. So maybe go on a run, or maybe just put on a rock song and just like rock out, in order to kind of prevent that accumulation, because there's research that shows that there's trauma like living in the body, and that can show up as like really tense, a lot of tension or even pain in the body.
So I want to, this brings me, when you're saying this, to like one of the things you wrote in your email about rage rituals and twerking as antecedent manipulations or antecedent strategies. Talk about that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So one of the things that I realized within myself is I never allowed myself to get angry. I had a father who I felt like had a temper growing up. So I kind of leaned into like the extreme of like, I'm never going to be angry. Even when, and being angry is a normal human emotion. It lets us know, hey, whatever it is that we're experiencing, it's not okay with us, right? It's just information. So I wouldn't allow myself to get angry. And that was my emotional constipation. I had built up so much anger that I wouldn't allow myself to express. I wouldn't even allow myself to admit that certain things made me angry. So when I did go through the embodiment certification, and they guided us through actually screaming, punching the pillow, saying out loud what you're like pissed off about, like say the thing that you really want to say, I had such a big release. And then It made me realize like, wow, like if I just have these rage rituals, like once a week or something, I can really just prevent myself from accumulating that. And I think even twerking comes back to that, because we as women also hold a lot of emotion in our hips. Right. And my hips are always tense. I don't know about you both, but that was for me. I didn't realize how liberating that was going to be for me to even allow myself to move my hips. I always told myself, I can't twerk, I can't move like that. And once I, you know, was able to heal a lot of emotion from my body, I'm able to move a lot better, and I can actually kind of twerk now. And yes, I love that about myself now. I'm like, now I can shake my butt, and it's so much fun. And I feel like with embodiment, there's two parts. You can do embodiment practices to release emotions that you don't want to feel, but you can also embody more what you want to feel. You can embody more confidence, more empowerment. And for me, shaking my butt and like twerking and dancing in like sexy ways, it makes me feel really good. And it is like an antecedent manipulation to just make me feel more confident and behave in ways that are more in alignment with what I want to do.
And just that freedom.
Or that like freedom. I think that also,
like, I'm like a very, like, I'm really hard on myself. So like being silly even is like a skill, just like being like, you know, having more fun and not being so like regimented is like something I would love to do, is just be like, maybe even put on like, I was just thinking like a stand-up comedy, like, and just like laugh and just not like, I don't know, just be silly. That's like a behavior I want to work on, being silly.
Yeah, I feel like it goes back to like rule governed behavior that we're not even aware of. And I think sometimes even our body is just trained to not do that thing. So if I have a rule that I cannot twerk, right? So I didn't try, and my body would not allow me to, because I had trained it for so long that you just don't move like that. And once I was able to overcome that rule and like, it's okay to have fun. It's okay to, you can be professional and smart, and you can be silly and fun and move in this way, that just releasing that rule and leaning more into like freedom, even just allowed my body to move in a more free way. So I don't know if I'm making sense, but I feel like there's two layers.
I'm sensing like a morning twerk session in the office coming soon.
We did that. Yes. We did that in the beginning. We used to do drop it low, and everyone had to do like the squats, and then we'd pass it to the next person. Remember?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. So So what does your role look like now, and what services do you offer for people that are listening and are like, oh my God, I want to talk to her?
Yeah. So I specifically am working with behavior analysts, and I've just spent the last few weeks interviewing behavior analysts that are feeling burnt out and they're feeling disconnected. They're feeling like, I don't know who I am anymore. And just having conversations about what are their experiences and what are they wanting? And so based on all of this data, I have created my signature program that is a one-on-one coaching experience where I'm working with behavior analysts who are women to help them reconnect with their bodies. And I do want to talk about cycle syncing in a bit.
Yes.
That's one of the things that I want to work with everyone is like aligning your work with your cycle to prevent that workout. And then also just being aware of those core wounds that we're carrying around that we're inadvertently kind of aggravating, and it's preventing us from behaving in the way that we really want to, which I believe is like what burnout is. It's like for so long, we've just been disconnected from who we are. We're just eating in ways that we don't want to eat. We're not moving. We're not making the time for the relationships that we want. Maybe we're snapping at people. It's just like, we know like, oh, I'm not acting like myself anymore. And it's like bringing it back to who we really are. So to have that clarity, to know if we want to stay in the field or if there's something else that we want to do, which I think is a big thing right now. I just had a conversation with a woman who went to APA, and she said that there was a statistic that like 50% of behavior analysts are thinking about leaving the field. So I thought that was a big number.
Probably a sign that we need to do something.
Exactly.
That's really interesting. I mean, I just hearing what you're saying, I was speaking to this I was filling out the paperwork for this Jewish matchmaker that my parents sent, like to get introduced to whatever. And on it, it's like about yourself, tell about yourself, how do you describe yourself and your hobbies. And I'm like, fuck, because, and again, I'm not working in a clinic, so I think like my burnout level is different. It still is like you're working every day, like you own your own company, whatever it is. But I'm like asking Casey and like Martha, I'm like, so what are my hobbies? Like, how would I describe myself? And I'm like if you ask me, like I was the hobby queen. Like there was not one hobby I didn't have before. And whether it was like art or this or like comedy or improv or this and that, and like, just with time, you kind of like lose these things. I mean, it happens to be as I was writing it, Casey's like, what do you mean? These are still hobbies. I'm like, no, but now they're all businesses because like my hobby was like doodling. Like, now you're doing it in your work. My hobby was like comedy. She's like, that's what you're doing in your classes, which I mean is cool, which helps with burnout because I'm doing what I love where I work. But I also, oh my gosh, you know, with the more work and like things you do at home, whether it's like you're a mom or you do lose like who you are and what you like to do. And it's like, if you take a step back and like, think about it, it's like, whoa. And I think that's cool. I'm assuming you're helping people do that as well.
Yeah. I feel like from a behavior analytic perspective, we almost put those behaviors on extinction. It's like, we don't do them anymore because we're so busy doing other things. And it's like kind of relearning like how to do that again.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like the time that I have when I'm like, let's say I get Kobe to bed, I'm like done with work. It's like, it almost feels like more work for me to like go sit and like take a canvas out and paint. I'm like, I just want to like lay here, you know, like I'm tired. So it's hard.
I love that you said that because I feel like just even thinking back when I was working at my previous company, and I know companies try to do a really good job about promoting wellness, but what it sounds like to someone that's already overwhelmed is like, that's more shit I have to do. Like, now I have to go on a walk, now I have to go on a hike, now I have to find a therapist, you know, it's like more things. So I believe it's like really like the first step should be looking in your life where you're expending like unnecessary energy. And for me, I believe a lot of it is just like overthinking or that perfectionism mindset. kind of relieving ourselves from that first, and then making the time to, okay, now I have the time and the clarity. I actually want to go paint now, right? Like you said, like when you're already busy, you don't want to do that.
Yes, it becomes like another more work, you know? It's like, yeah.
It's almost like you have to make the time and real and like come into contact with that good consequence to continue that behavior. But it's when it seems too much, you avoid it. And then now you're like sad and feeling guilty that you didn't do it. So it's like, all right, just do it and try to create a habit.
Yes.
Like I know I go through bouts of like, and it's probably just different things I'm going through in my life, but I go through stages where music is like everything. Like I can't, music has playing in my ears at all times, in my house at all times. I can't walk to the car without my headphones in. I'm jamming in the car. I'm feeling like all these feelings. And then there's the last week, I haven't wanted to listen to any music at all. Like I actually unplugged Alexa and I was like, I miss her. Today I plugged her back in. I was like, I haven't used my headphones. I haven't listened to music. Like it's such a weird like cycle. And I also, that leads us into cycle syncing. Cause like, I don't know if that has any play in it, and like, it probably does, but I know that I'm like, right now I'm coming up to it and I need to start giving myself grace when that is coming, because my cycle is so dysregulated and it's been that way forever. And it's like, just like with my PCOS and everything, I realize like I'm more hungry right now. I'm not working out as much this week. I'm feeling like guilty about it. The pain in my like head. I'm like, what the hell is this? Like I was night sweats last night, like all this stuff. And it's like, am I sick? I don't feel sick, but like, I don't really relate it to my cycle ever. I've never done that.
Yeah, I agree. Sometimes we create these like routines and then we kind of fall off and then we like shame ourselves instead of like getting shame. Curious about, like you said, like, oh, why am I not really into this? And I believe that's why it's so important to track our cycle. So cycle syncing is something that for me has changed my life. It's helped me become more productive and really take advantage of the energy that I have in certain parts of my cycle. So there's, you know, I feel like when we think about our period or our menstrual cycle, we just think about that time where we're bleeding and we're like, we know what that feels like. It's like crampy. There's that bloating. We're craving chocolate and all of that. And I feel like in society, we're kind of trained to hate our periods, but I think it's super empowering. So in our period, there's four phases. There's menstruation, which is when we're bleeding, and that usually lasts about 5 days. And that is when our uterus is kind of breaking down its walls and it's we're bleeding out what our uterus had created to, you know, receive a baby. So that's the beginning of our menstrual cycle. And I think a lot of people think that's the end. So that's the beginning of it. And then we go into follicular phase where our bodies are creating that egg. And then we are going into ovulation phase. And then the luteal phase is the last phase right before our period. And that's when a lot of women are experiencing those like PMS symptoms. So what I like to do is I really like to align my work with my period. So knowing my body and, you know, typical symptoms, I know that when I am starting my menstruation, I'm going to be low energy. I'm not going to want to spend a lot of energy doing something. And that may affect the way that I behave. So what I do is I plan ahead and make sure that I don't have a lot of heavy tasks during those 5 days, because going back to behavior analytic terms, I think like my MO is just going to be different. And when I am done with my menstrual cycle and I'm going into that follicular phase where now it's like, okay, now my body is like kind of starting over again. It's creating a new egg and we're going to go into ovulation. This is the part of my cycle where I know that I'm going to be more creative. I'm going to have more energy. And when we think about like ovulation, like what is the function of ovulation? It's to have a baby. And in order to have a baby, you have to get your freak on. And in order to do that, you probably have to feel confident and go out and meet someone. So during that time, we're feeling a lot more confident. We're feeling a lot more, you know, sexy, and more inclined to go out and do things that are more social. So during this time, I really like to take advantage of that. So that's when I'm creating content. That is where I, as a behavior analyst, would plan a lot of maybe more of my parent trainings, right? Going back to what I was talking about, I used to get so anxious. And now I'm like, oh man, if I would have just planned it around that time where I'm feeling a lot more confident and have more energy, that probably would have gone better. Planning more assessments during that time, more creating new programs, all of that during this time, really kind of leveraging that energy that you have. And as we move closer back in the cycle into our luteal phase, which is right before we start bleeding again, that's actually like the longest phase, is about 2 weeks. We start to kind of like start to, our hormones change and our energy levels change again. So during this time, we might start to feel a little bit more sleepy. We might start to crave a lot more different types of snacks and foods. And for me, the luteal phase now, it's all about just wrapping up projects that I started in my ovulation phase. So this is where I would go in and really schedule like report writing. You're going to have a lot more clarity to wrap things up, maybe reviewing some data, making some changes. And this is something that I'm really excited to empower other behavior analysts to do as well, because I believe that it could have helped prevent my burnout instead of feeling like I have to perform at this level every single day and then feeling shame for not getting all of the things that I wanted to do. Is like having the awareness of what's going on in my body and planning accordingly so that I can actually finish the things that I wanted to if I just structured them in a way that it was in alignment with my cycle.
Like really setting yourself up for success.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow.
I absolutely love what you just said, the entire thing. And I can't wait for the CEU on this, because it's going to be so important. I've never, and especially like working with women, right? So like in our field, you said, you know, 82% are women. And also at SNAVA, we're like almost 100% run woman company too. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, there's ebbs and flows all the time, but I've never thought to sync it to like my cycle or even have any like understanding of why I might feel a certain way at a certain time of the month. And that's so crazy to even say, I never thought about that. But the way you just put it so clearly is like, okay, there is a reason why there are times where I'm inward. There's times where I'm outwards. There are times where I'm super productive. And then there's time where I feel shame if I'm not as productive. And then there's time where I'm more anxious and times where, or if I'm feeling sexy. Like a couple of weeks ago, I was feeling like so sexy. Like, oh my God, look at me. Like I was in the gym every day. And then the last like 6 or 7 days, I'm like feeling bloated. I'm feeling like, how did I lose it? Like what happened? Like where, like, I don't feel sexy. I'm wearing like baggy sweatshirts. I was wearing like tank tops before. And I'm like, ugh, like, and then I feel like this, like, I'm never going to go back to that feeling, because it's, I always think that when I'm in this feeling, it's the only place it's going to stay. And I'm like, never going to get back to that person I was 2 weeks ago. But it is, I know it comes back, and I have to keep reminding myself that in allowing it to be okay. And that's something really hard. Wow.
I love what you just said. It's like knowing that it's coming back, like, okay, like, oh, I loved that feeling. I did X, Y, and Z. I went to the gym. Okay, that felt good. Next cycle, when I'm feeling this again, what can I do? Right. So like Liat said, it's like setting yourself up for success and leveraging your cycle to do more of the things that you want to do. And amazing, I agree. Amazing. Like a field that is like primarily women. And I think this is just overall in like any profession, it's like we need to just empower ourselves by getting to know our bodies better. But no one teaches us this stuff. Like even in school, when we talk about like reproductive health, it's usually like super short and we just focus
like, here's
on
how
like,
to get pregnant.
How to get pregnant, how to prevent getting pregnant. And this is what you do when you bleed and like, that's it. But no one talks about everything else that is going on in your cycle.
You're amazing. I want you to tell people where they can find you before we wrap up.
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram at Empower with Yvette. And you can also find me on my website at empoweredbehaviorwomen.com.
Girl power.
Girl power, yeah.
Yes, we are all about that. Yvette, thank you so much for coming on the show. You're amazing. And I cannot wait to see what we do in the future together. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
You're really amazing. And
yeah, you are.
And there's so many things that I'm like, I could be doing this. And so thank you so much for coming on and sharing. We're so lucky we get to have people like you to come on and have conversations with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
I guess that also was a hobby of mine, talking to people, and now I'm podcasting. So I do have some hobbies still. I just need to realize them. But anyways, okay, that's all I have for you guys today. You know where you could find us. You could find us on our website, behaviorbitches.com, on our Instagram, at behaviorbitchespodcast, on Facebook, at behaviorbitchespodcast. Always reach out with any topics you want us to do, ABA-related or not. Listen to us wherever you want to listen to us, but go ahead and find someone with an iPhone and steal their phone. Go to the podcast app and leave a 5-star review for us and write something nice. No pressure. Just go do it now. Okay. That's all. And as always, love ya.
Mean it.
Hey guys, it's Liat
and Casey.
We just want to take a second to let you know that if you're thinking of being a millennial like us and starting your own podcast, there is a way.
You can do your show without having to become an audio editing and production wizard, because guess what? We don't know shit with that. But we have Alan at Pretty Easy Podcast who helped us get started. He records our shows, he posts them, he adds awesome, awesome music and cool shit when we don't even know what he's doing. He sends us teaser episodes, he does it all. We just sit here and friggin' talk.
We shoot the shit, and you can record from home, your office, the park, a bathroom stall at work, it doesn't matter. He provides the complete podcast studio. All you need is a microphone and you're good.
Alan caters to your schedule and gives you a producer for your show at your beck and call. He has been super flexible with our schedule. Whenever we need him, we go to Google Calendar. We just book him and he does all the hard work. It's like so incredibly easy. That's why it's probably called Pretty Easy Podcast.
So be heard and have some fun podcasting like us. Go to prettyeasypodcast.com today.